All right, everyone, here we are back in the bath. It's 2024, and it's been a while, but this year we're gonna try and hit you with a little bit more. I'm your host, Mazo, and today we just have one special guest, and that will be NBT.
It's been 84 years.
Oh my god, I thought you were gonna say 84 days, and I was like, thinking about it, and I was like, no, it's been more than 84 days.
You mean like specific? No, I'm not that specific.
This guy's been counting the days. All right, well, since we're here, let's just jump right into it. Today's topic is anime, depending on where you're from, you know, and music focus. So anime focus music, anything from Bang Dream to that one with the cat girls who play music in 3D CG anime, or even anime and its role, or I'm sorry, music and its role in anime. So NBT, where do you want to start this off?
So one of the anime that caught my attention, well, actually, it's not the anime itself, but like the music.
Bandori!
Holy shit, you guessed it! Oh! But yeah, so Bang Dream had a new anime recently, which is the one called My Go. And the thing is, like, My Go is the actual band that they focus on. In the anime. While I have actually no interest in the anime itself, they introduced actually...
What? I'm sorry.
Controversial.
You didn't watch My Go?
No. Did you?
Okay, so I watched My Go, and I've seen, I think, all of the other Bang Dream anime, and if you watch any of the other ones, it's like, we're happy girls, and we play music, and we love each other, and it's fun, and if you watch My Go, it's like... I just wish my friends liked me. I just want to play music with my friends. Now, fuck you. Fuck you.
Yeah, it's
fuck
emo conflict.
It's so messed up.
I mean, I can tell, but the thing is, what I can tell is that the music, at least, like, because they... Oh, shit, this is a spoiler, though. So, spoiler alert. They introduced a new band called Ave Musica. And
that's not until, the last episode, by the way.
Yes, episode 13. And their music is so good, at least in my opinion.
There's a reason for that, if you've seen the series.
For them being that good? Like, what do you mean?
Yeah, so within the series, within all of Bang Dream, all the girls are basically amateur bands. And the thing with Ave Musica is it's headed up by one girl who is an amateur, but she ends up recruiting all these, professionals, except for one girl in particular, and it plays into the story of My Go, so I don't want to get too into it for anyone who wants to, watch it. But aside from, two girls, it's, all big names within the universe that Bang Dream exists in.
Oh, that's a spoiler, too. Because it wasn't obvious that it was in the same universe.
I mean, it is in the same universe, and maybe that's a spoiler, but how they're composed is still a mystery technically, but there's spoiler alert, big faces involved. They're not necessarily great musicians, but they're famous models within that world or other things girls you see on magazine covers.
Yeah, but I thought Roselia was supposed to be the pinnacle of musicians when it came to their kind of music, gothic, metal thing.
It's... That's a hard one because Roselia is a big deal within their world. They're definitely the most successful band, but they still play the same venues that the lower bands play. Obviously, they're the final act and everything, but there's a lot more going on there. So it's a little tough to say things, but again, that's within that universe.
Yeah, but the impression that I got from Ave Musica is they are basically what Roselia should have been from the start. That's my impression.
Okay, so what do you mean by they should have been from the start? Because that's an interesting point to bring up.
First of all, compared to Roselia, which is more gothic, Ave Musica is a lot darker, and they're I mean, they have a strict concept, like they have their worldview quite clear, while Roselia is more mainstream compared to Ave Musica, I would say.
Yeah, I think I could agree with that. Ave Musica is a lot darker. Roselia can have happier songs here and there, but yeah, the Ave Musica is dark to the core. So there's a reason for that, like, especially if you know who their band leader is. And yeah, that's all stuff within the animation that, like, kind of pops out at you when you're watching it.
Yeah, so in terms of the musicians, like, in real life, there was a commenter on our article where we covered the band saying that it was essentially only the vocalist, who's also the guitarist. She's like the only one who has a music background, while the other ones are does not. And it's quite interesting that they basically employ these kind of projects with people who aren't, like, well-versed in the industry, in my opinion, at least.
Yeah, I mean, that's a whole Bushiroad thing, obviously, because Bushiroad hits all that stuff up. But, I mean, we've covered Azusa Todokoro. And she's the guitarist for Hello Happy World, but she also has her own solo vocalist career. She did the first either opening or ending for Reincarnated as a Slime. And she restarted her musical career when she did that opening ending. I can't remember which it was. But a lot of the Bang Dream talent has a little bit of background before becoming Bang Dream. And then there's the ones that actually play instruments, and some of them came out of nowhere. But yeah, from what you said, it's hard to nail it down to people with background or not, because you have the in-universe and then you have the in, you know, our world.
Yeah, and the thing is, like, what's interesting is that a lot of the female Bang Dream bands, they are actually, like, playing their instrument. But, like, for example, there's, like, one Visual K band in the Organavis universe, like, which is, like, the male Bang Dream side.
Yeah, and I'm glad they were Organavis.
Yeah, and they were bringing in people from the Visual K scene. So they actually, okay, so first of all, their music, some of their music was actually composed by Kasky from, like, ex Nocturnal Bloodlust.
I did not know that.
Yeah, so it's quite interesting in my opinion. And, like, also we have Sid, like S-I-D,
mm-hmm.
The old school, I don't know if you want to call it old school, but the OGs.
The OG! They're a whole other thing now.
Yeah, and like when they were playing live, the only member that they kept with the live performance was the vocalist. And his name is like Arthur, because he's like a hafu. He has really like the perfect genetics. So the band members were in okay.
All so, right, man, mechanize those macadamias. You can do it.
So the guitarist, Yusei, he was from the Kitty, and then we have the other guitarist, which is called Toma, and he was in he is in Cloud, and then like bassist Sato is in LC5. That's like the band that was associated with like the and Cafe members. And then there's the drummer Kenzo, who is in Ayabi.
Yeah, I never knew if it was Ayabi. Yeah, it's a tough one.
I don't think it's BA though. Like, but like generally, to summarize my impression of like Bang Dream, I do not watch the anime because it's difficult for me to
casual
watch like something 3D.
Casual.
I'm into the music. So actually, I think their album, which is a self-titled album, right? What's it?
Whose album? Ave Musica.
Ave Musica.
No, their first album, or their first single, at least, had a title from that article.
You know what? They just recently released their first single, because the other ones did not count as singles, apparently.
What were they, EPs?
Yeah. There was one EP. Okay, it's called Alea Jakta Est.
I remember that. Yeah.
Yeah. However you pronounce that.
Yeah, because all their stuff's in Latin.
Yeah. I'm not even gonna like try to
come on make it try. Sound
like I know. I did try, but I'm not gonna make it sound like I know how to pronounce it.
Pretend like it you be... know. The listeners don't know that you don't know.
Actually, I think it's easier if we just like pronounce it in the like katakana way. Then you're not wrong.
Well, yeah, then you're definitely not wrong by Japanese standards, right?
Yeah, exactly. So, but I did not know that, what the katakana way of pronouncing it anyway. So,
it's funny
anyway,
that I digress. Bring that up because a lot of times, like pronunciation things come up between like friends and everything. I'm like, show me the katakana, and I'll tell you how it's pronounced.
Yeah. It was like, I was like interviewing. Necronomidol, and their album name was a Swedish word. I could not even pronounce it myself.
Wait, so
I was
like, you're Swedish. What do you mean you can't pronounce it?
I was like, okay, so how do you pronounce it in katakana?
Fair.
That was actually easier than actually pronouncing it in Swedish, because it was like a combined word. It was like not a word that that you usually use. It was like more ancient word. So I don't know.
Okay, so like the kind of shit that like the Vikings would say.
I don't know if it was Viking, but it was like use this kind of word for like mythical stuff, not in like everyday life.
Okay, well, what was the word? Let's bring it on. Bring on your Swedish version and then tell me the Necronomidol version. Are you Swedish?
I don't know. Are you Swedish? Okay, let's just go get past that. And let me mention another difficult anime title to pronounce. Nodame
Cantabile.
Cantabile. Like I looked up like the, because this, I think it's the origin is like a Italian word that I cannot pronounce.
Yeah, I don't know. As a but, partially Italian podcaster here, I don't know.
Yeah. But what I mean is that even if you pronounce it correct in English, it's not the correct way to pronounce it.
Because yeah, I can't tell you how many times I've gone up to Japanese people and been like, you heard of this? And I say it perfectly. And they're like, no. And then I put that katakana twang on it. And they're like, oh yeah, I know that.
Yeah, Cantabile. But that show, have you heard about that? The anime?
Yeah. I watched the whole thing. I know students. I know people who are into it, and it's somewhat of a big deal out here. I think they had a live action also, so yeah, people know it.
So let me reveal a secret. I did not watch the anime. I watched the live action
only
because I did not know it was an anime at that time. I watched live action. I was like,
the
this anime is really
fantastic.
Good. Yeah, so and it's been like probably over 10 years since I wanted to watch the anime, but I have not done that yet. The live action.
Yeah.
The male protagonist looks like Gakt. That was that was one of the things that got me.
I like that guy a lot.
Okay, you don't like Gakt? I thought everyone liked Gakt.
You find me a person who does not like Gakt.
Lots of people don't like Gakt.
Did we just get a random sis?
Yeah.
Oh my god.
He just woke up.
You just woke up. How you feeling?
No,
baby?
I'm just sick. I'm still sick.
Oh yeah.
My nose just sounds shit. Well, yeah, I didn't wake up.
But did you watch the live action though?
I've never seen live action. Sis, have you seen the live action of Nodame?
No, never.
Nah.
you make it sound like it's a bad thing that I watched the live action.
I mean, I'm just really surprised that you've only seen the live action adaptation of a phenomenal animation.
Like, I did not know it wasn't an adaptation. Actually,
I did
like,
not know.
The
who who
live action,
who got you into it? Like, that's important at this point. Who lied to you?
It was, I think at that time it was like a forum, and there was like it was like a J drama section, and someone mentioned
so no intercourse was involved.
Yes, no intercourse was involved. Okay,
yeah, like if there's no intercourse, it's acceptable.
Okay, but okay, so yeah, I don't know where I'm going with this. It was just that I found out it was a show before I found out it was like an anime, and I really liked the live action live adaptation though. It was one of the better series that I've watched.
Oh really? It was well done.
Yeah. But the thing is, I did not have a prior connection to the anime itself, so it was not like, oh, that character doesn't look like a him or her or something like that. So
fair. That can make a live action better if you don't know going in.
Like. Yeah, do you have anything more to add to that part? Because I basically said all of my shit on that one.
Just, yeah, Nodame, in a sense, is a great way to get a little more invested into classical. It's not a great way to get more invested into Japanese music, but there is an interesting scene for classical out here in Japan as it is, because the way their school system works, especially compared to the U.S. In the U.S., there's, like, if you want to get into music, you gotta kind of, like, decide that's your focus. And it's kind of shenanigans, if you ask me. Out here in Japan, you can be like, I'm going to join the brass club and we're going to play Tchaikovsky. And like in my free time, I'm going to practice Tchaikovsky, but I'm still going to focus on my actual studies. In the States, there's not really that much of that option, in my experience at least. So like it's nice that stuff exists.
Have your students like mentioned anything about that, like about their school, like musical stuff?
Not in particular, but like I got students, I'm like, you know, anytime you run into a student doing the job I do, you're like, what are your hobbies or whatever. I have more students who play random classical instruments, from piano to violin to like anything else, than I would ever have in the States. Like people in the States just don't have that opportunity, because if you decide to pick up a random instrument, it's like, okay, you've given up on academics. Like, this is what you do now. It's not something you can just do in your free time at the same time, because it's either one or the other, and it's kind of messed up.
I personally, like, grew up playing music, like, instruments. And so for me, it was like, I think it's, like, one of the good skills to have in life, because you have
more of an appreciation for everything, honestly. Especially with classical, you have an appreciation for everything.
Yeah, I mean, exactly. I was basically going to say that as well. Like, you really get a better appreciation for everything. Well, not everything, but, like, music, yes.
So we've looked at Bandori, which is, like, the modern rocky, poppy stuff of everything. We looked a little bit at Nodame, since you brought it up. But, like, Sizz, like, is there any music anime you've been into recently or anything?
Not recently. I don't actually watch much music anime.
You can just leave now, buddy. No, I'm just messing with you.
not even at any point in being here. There's ones I did watch was Sound Euphonium, which is big band, basically big high school big band club. And
girls
that was
loving girls.
Yeah. that was like surprisingly good. Like I was like, this is gonna be, I don't know what it's gonna be. I'm just gonna go straight in and just not, you know, expect anything. And it was really good.
My question for you with that was like, after watching it, like of course appreciating the story of girls and girls, but like all the other stuff, like the music and stuff they play, did it get you any more interested in like the music they were playing or any of that?
Like I think I'm like, or was already like previously kind of interested in that kind of music, but like not in a big way, and it didn't really get any bigger, to be honest. But my interest was that, yeah, it hasn't really gotten any bigger, but I'm happy to like listen to that kind of music, honestly. So that's you know?
Yeah, for sure. Like, it's interesting how, like, an animation can broaden your horizons in some ways. Like, because, like, right. My thing is, like, I'm all into the hardcore. Like, I just want to listen to heavy music and stuff. Or I want to listen to underground idols and just hit people. But, like, when you listen to this and that, and then how it can, like, influence, like, oh, I'm a little more interested in maybe checking this out and how it can sway your opinion and stuff.
Well, you listen to Hello Happy World, and that's, like, the most Genki band in Bang Dream.
Because I'm Genki.
Okay. But Mazo, has there been any anime that has, like, affected you on a personal level? Like, the major
musically
way? Yes.
So, last season from recording, which today's recording, way late in the recording, is in February, there was a series called Under Ninja, and they had a band called Croy that did the opening, and So this season, there's another series called Butchigiri. And they have an opening by Croy as well. And they're both really good. This season, Butchigiri is Sesame by Croy. Last season, Under Ninja was Hyper by Croy. And from listening to Hyper and Sesame, I've been listening to those almost nonstop recently, despite the new Devilouf release. I'm listening to them all together, and, like, more often than not, I'm finding myself being like, I want to listen to Croy right now. But at the same time, wow. I'm watching Yofukashi no Uta without the subs because of study time, right? You can study by watching animation. It's amazing. But, yeah, a lot of the more hip-hop influenced stuff, because of what's being aired, I find myself being more interested in it. So, yeah, what they're playing in the openings and endings is definitely influencing my music choice recently.
Yeah. Did you guys watch Bocchi the Rock?
Yeah, of course. No, everyone watched Bocchi.
I didn't.
Wait a minute.
You see? You see? It's not an obvious question.
Yeah. It should be.
I mean, yeah. Sis. I can't. I haven't been able to watch anime for a very long time.
What's going on in the world of Sis that stops Sis from doing
anime
anything productive?
Work.
Work.
Basically work. But yeah, I know of Bocchi the Rock. Like, I know of its popularity, but I don't, like, I saw a news article that it got to the point where people were buying, like, her guitar. It was sold out,
and people were like, what the fuck?
Like, you know, it's sold out everywhere, but, yeah, that's the only, like, really only thing I know. I know it's popular, and I know about, like, if it's selling guitars, then it's, you know, doing something.
Yeah,
so that was one of the crazy things
talking about the sales with Bocchi. So Comiket 100, maybe 101. I don't know. I was there. Anyway, there was one point because I was trying to get out of the venue, and there was like this massive line of people, and it made it really difficult to get at a big site. But we got out and whatever, and come to find out, like, the character designer for the series released a fan book. And that fan book was so high in demand that that's what that line was. The line of people preventing me from getting out of the freaking venue was people
so
waiting
people
to buy that book that later sold for 700 USD.
Wow. What? Okay.
No. Yeah, like if you bought it that day, you could have made mad profit, because that was the only day you could have bought it. Once it was sold out, it was gone. And Bocchi, it was a big deal globally and in Japan.
I kind of don't like the aspect of not being able to buy the stuff I want when I'm at Comiket, but it's also very understandable because it's all self-produced, most of it, and so they can't produce it in a high volume, otherwise they're gonna not sell out. So everything is exclusive, almost. Everything you buy at Comiket.
Yeah, there's that feeling when you're there and everything. But I mean, somebody's gonna put it out, right?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not saying it's a bad thing, but I'm like, last time when I was there, I had a long list. I was gonna pick this up, but I could only like finish like maybe one and a half of the list because of how fast everything sold out.
Yeah, it's kind of like, nuts how fast some or certain things can go.
So the thing is, I prioritized buying music first.
Yeah.
So I got most of that done. But then when I was going to buy like illustration books, that was pretty much fucked. Everything was sold out by the time.
Speaking of that, I haven't talked to you since I saw Utsupi, have I?
I don't recall.
Yeah, I saw Utsupi. It was amazing. But
maybe your conversation was so boring that I forgot about it.
Oh, buddy. Wow. Well, the extent of said conversation is I went to Antinok, hands down, Japan's best live house, Shinjuku, Antinok. If you're ever here, you gotta go to Antinok for the hardcore stuff. Anyway, he played with his band, Ohayo Gozaimasu, and phenomenal.
Yeah, I need to go there.
Yeah, Antinok. You didn't go to Antinok the last time I saw you, but Antinok is amazing.
No, last time I actually, like, I was in Japan for, like, a work month. In terms of, like, concerts that I personally, like, bought tickets to, was none.
So it was
all Jero News.
Yeah, you gotta hit up Antinok. Sizz, you ever been to Antinok?
No, I haven't.
Bruh.
Gangire in Antinok.
But wait, amazing. you were at the live house where Bocchi the Rock takes place.
Yeah, I've been to. So within the animation, it's called Starry, but IRL, it's called Shelter, and it looks exactly one, like right? They represented it in the animation, except the like red colored kind of metal pillars that you see in the animation, they're black, so they don't stand out as much. But it's exactly as they represented it, except one bathroom that's like in a corner, like they kind of don't really express that's there. But it's a great live house. When I went and saw them, actually, the Number Zero, I don't know if we've covered them or if we've covered them, not that much. But the Number Zero played, and their singer, Inger, she's formerly Salty Dog. She went up there in the pink tracksuit jacket as Bocchi, and it was amazing. It was a great show. I caught a carnation at the end of their show. They were throwing flowers out on the stage. The carnation's dead on my balcony right now, so.
Inger also had pink hair at the time as well, so matching Bocchi.
Oh, her hair was pink? I don't remember that.
That was
part of Lupinus Fest at that time, which is coming back around, but like it's going to be on a Saturday, so I can't go.
Yeah, but like, so that's the difference with Bocchi, is that it's very girl-oriented, like in terms of the characters, but like in real life, it's just males.
In real life, it's just guys. Yeah.
Yep.
It's in the fans, right?
And the band members, to be honest.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, like, you could make some correlations, like, with Bocchi and, like, maybe, like, K-On!, like, the animes. I really feel like K-On! Would, like, realistically speaking, would be guys. But they just, like in anime, they just put girls in it and like, cute girls doing cute things, and that's how it sells.
It makes it so acceptable.
Yep.
Yeah.
But in my opinion, Bocchi the Rock is so much better than K-On!. I just recently finished the first season of K-On!. I was like, yeah, this is why I did not watch it back then.
So when you say this is why I did not watch it, what do you mean by that? Because like, I've put off K-On! Time after time. Like, I'm like, this was made for me, right? Like, the music fan who also likes anime. But I've never been motivated enough to actually watch it.
So, I would say the music that comes from K-On! Is very, like, notable in the sense that it has, I would say it has gone viral in the anime community because okay. the music is really good. But what's not that good is the music aspect in the anime itself, I would say. And the reason for that is that, like,
you didn't have the tech at that time to make it, like, worth it, or what?
It's more about the storytelling of being a musician. And I don't think they pulled it off well because, as someone else who been playing music with bands, like, basically since my entire, like, teenage years and also some of my adult life.
As a 50-year-old man? Okay.
Yes, correct. No, actually, I'm 60, but okay. Oh. So the thing is that the vocalist slash the guitarist, basically the main protagonist of the series, she increased, like, her guitar skills from 0 to, like, 100 in, like, a few episodes. And you can't relate to that.
Well, that's Bang Dream, honestly. Kasumi goes from nothing to decent. I wouldn't say 100, but...
Well, okay, I haven't watched Bang Dream, so I can't...
Yeah, because, like, you're a casual! But anyway, go on.
No, I'm a fake fan. But essentially, it's not relatable if you're actually a musician. That's what I'm saying.
Okay, I get that.
Like, Bocchi, she has a story. It progresses, like, steadily, like, because she was playing music since, like, a really young age.
Yeah, she never stopped because she thought that would make her popular or something, and then she never
make her friends.
She kept going, and she got to the point where she's like, okay, I'm good enough, and then it was too late. Like, she was already at the point where she was like, I was supposed to have made those friends, like, 2 years ago, but I was too busy playing guitar in the closet.
Exactly. And yeah, she also, like, recorded herself and put it up on,
and she became, like, a big YouTuber. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, do you call it YouTube on the anime, or what do you call it? Like,
I don't know what their name for it was, but it was clearly YouTube. Maybe. Yeah. Like, because even within the animation, it was not Nico Nico. Between you and I, we have more with the music connected to the animation. But Sis, how's animation influenced you and your music tastes in the past?
Jeez, I mean, it's undeniable that if it wasn't for anime, I wouldn't be into Visual K, so that's like, wouldn't be into Nightmare, you know? I wouldn't be into Uberworld. I don't think I would actually be, like, buying CDs as I would be if it wasn't for, because that was basically the catalyst for my music journey. Even though people would say it's a bit, like, cheesy or, like, the most common thing. Yeah, it was common, but yeah, that's my kind of way into it, basically.
Let me ask you the pinnacle question.
Yeah.
Did you watch Visual Prison?
No. So basically, I have this thing where, and it's just, I don't know why, but I am not a fan of, like, project. Women? No. I'm a fan of. I am definitely a fan of women.
okay. So in short, Visual Prison is a Visual K anime. So
I don't know. Like
it's oriented about Visual K music. You know, like the scene.
So, yeah. So the premise is, like, I forgot how many bands there were, like 4 bands or something like that.
Yeah, something like
and
that.
And under the, like, Red Moon or some shit, like, they play their acts, then they all fight for, like, the
top music. Which actually just sounds like, I don't know if that's most music anime, but it sounds like kind of Hypnosis Mike.
Hypnosis Mike? I was waiting for that, man.
Or that's like, yeah, I don't know. That's the only thing I can relate, because my friends are really into that.
I can't believe you guys watched Hypnosis Mike.
Hypnosis Mike story is an interesting one, but go on, Sis.
So basically, most of my close friend group are into Hypnosis Mike, and basically, I have no interest in it. But not only did I get a Christmas PowerPoint presentation thing, where you show your favorite thing, and one of them was Hypnosis Mike, so I got an introduction from Hypnosis Mike from there. My friends also, like, cosplay characters from Hypnosis Mike, and also, like, sing the songs sometimes, so I caught up on, like, some of the songs as well, and I was like, oh, like stop, like I don't want to hear it, like not that I don't want to hear it, but it's a like sometimes
shut certain your mouth. Words
certain words come out and you're like, oh shit, I've got it stuck in my head. So that's how I know about Hypnosis Mike. I've known about it for a while anyway, because the basis of Elite Speak Monsters done a song for, I think, in Nagoya Division. So
that makes sense. Let me give you a quick like synopsis for listeners. It's a division rap battle. And it's a...
Yeah.
That's it.
But like, from the episode I saw, there's like terrorists and like they rap them into submission. Like, so when I say rap, I mean like yo, yo, yo.
They've taken away weapons and the only way to battle is through the voice and through these microphones that have like special, they're like, the best way to describe it is like, if you've read or watched Air Gear, they've got regalias, and this is like the equivalent of a regalia. So they use that microphone to battle, and then there's the different divisions, like Nagoya Division, there's like one, I think Tokyo, whatever, Osaka. So they all kind of fight. I don't know how the fight happens or whatnot, but the people who are at the top are like, I think three women, who are the ones who like are in charge of like taking away all the weapons, and only the men can use the microphones to fight, and that's the, as far as I know. There's more to it, but clearly, it's a confusing multimedia, you know, franchise. So
yes, so that's the thing. It's all male characters on this one. That's why I was surprised that especially Master has watched it. So transitioning from terrorists, what about Detroit Metal City?
Oh my god, dude. Like, anyone within our cloud of listeners, viewers, readers who has not seen DMC live action or animation, you're missing out. Cause it is the scene, 100%. And like the key identifier that tells you is within the animation and within the manga itself, is there's a part where Krauser goes to see a fan who's written him a fan mail, and he's like, I'm having a surgery and I'm under the weather and I'm sick and I don't know if I'm gonna be okay after it, and I'd really love if the Demon King Krauser came to see me beforehand. So he goes to see him and he's got a cold, and like that's his illness before his operation, and like he tries to cheer him up and stuff, and he's like, you're gonna make it, man, we're metal, blah blah blah, and he's like, yeah, and his operation is a circumcision. Like, it's amazing how good Detroit Metal City is.
Yeah. It, like, the entire show is, like, just sarcasm.
It's just joke upon joke upon joke.
Like, okay, so have you watched the... Obviously, you watched the anime, but have you watched the live action?
It's amazing, yeah.
So, the live action, the one who plays...
He plays L in Death Note, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. How would you describe L? Like, he's very composed. And
I don't know about composed, but like, yeah. The two characters are polar opposites.
Yes, mysterious. And that's what's so crazy. Like, how good his acting is.
Yeah.
But, okay, in terms of music, DMC is, like, one of the more notable anime in, like, music anime.
When it comes to metal, I think it's fair to say when it comes to metal or heavier music, at least.
So in terms of music, has that resonated with you two?
Wait, what?
Did you watch DMC?
No, I didn't, unfortunately. I did not. So
okay, let me start with Master first, but because then I can jump to something else that I think we all have watched. But like Master, like, do you remember any of the music of it?
Dude, I listen to the DMC soundtrack like as a part of my regular mix. Whether or not it's originally from the animation or from the stuff they spun off of the film, Like, it's all kind of the same. There's a bit of lyrical differences. I've done it at karaoke out here in Japan, and like people look at me like I'm insane. But yeah, Detroit Metal City was really, I was like, yeah, give me harder stuff like DMC. Give me DMC. Like it really was a driving factor.
Okay, that's interesting, because I actually, after the anime, none of the music kind of like...
You didn't like any of it? Not even Satsuki?
It's not that I did not like it, but it's like, I don't know, I didn't like continue listen to it though, but I love the anime though.
I don't know if it was the difference of where we were and everything, because when I saw it, I was in high school, and like, so back in that time, I had a really big pair of what I call douchebag headphones. And, like, I'd be blasting, like, a DMC song. And if anyone who knows DMC, they know all their songs are, like, so cringy. It's, like, anything from murder to, like, sexual assault are, like, the choruses. And, like, you go into a classroom blasting this on your headphones, and nobody speaks the language of what's going on, and you're like, yeah, I'm edgier than all of you. Like, it was so funny to me, because, like, it wasn't like I was like, yeah, murder and sexual assault. I was just like, this is so edgy and stupid, and nobody else could catch on to it. And, like, it was fun. It was funny because, like, metal is heavy and hilarious and, like, murder, 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 you know? So, like, it was really fun to listen to it and just walk into a place blasting and everybody's like, what did they just say? And I was just like, I don't know. Do you know? Yeah, I don't speak Japanese either.
But, yeah, but, like, for me, it was, like, the music itself was part of, like, the anime. So
100%.
Yeah. So it kind of like the music lives inside the anime, but for me, I didn't like bring it outside. Like, if you know what I mean.
What do you mean by that? I know you said if you know what I said, but I don't.
I feel like it's part of the anime and what's made it good, but it's not like music that I really felt like I needed to listen to. Unlike some of the other anime that I've watched.
Okay, I think that's a fair point, but, like, it's a good album, man.
But, okay, so one anime that I think we have all watched.
I haven't seen
you
it.
Will correct me. You will correct me if I'm wrong. Fukumenkei Noise.
Wait, okay, that registers. What's the English name?
Anonymous Noise.
That's it. Yes. Yeah. That's
no
it.
Idea. No idea, man.
Definitely seen that. Yeah.
Okay.
Seen that twice.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So at least this one for me, I love the music. They made the live action. I listened to both, like the live action movie. They made their own like theme songs and shit. Loved it. I probably love the music more than the anime itself. But like here's an example where I really, really like the music and continue to listen to it even to today. Like their music's really good. But the
Wait,
worst
the egoist,
thing,
egoist do the music or something because it's like
shit, no.
No. But that's yeah. Guilty Crown. Oh shit! I didn't think about it.
Guilty Crown.
It's not. It's not yeah, okay. So let me finish up with with Anonymous Noise first. Like the thing is with this anime is like what's sad is that the band just essentially just lives within the like series, like the anime and the live action. Yeah, and then the band does not do anything outside of that. So when those projects ended, like there's no music anymore. So you just sit there like you know that meme where this guy is just sitting there alone.
Okay, I don't know which one you're specifically talking about, but like I know the feeling, you know.
Yeah. Okay, but okay. Let's say okay. Whatever. I digress. So this is a really great anime, but what you mentioned with Egoist, like Guilty Crown, is not even a music anime.
It really isn't. Wow, yeah.
I thought it was good, so shut up.
Yeah, of course you would. But
they had a fictional band in the series, but like
of Guilty Crown or of the other one you're talking about.
Of Guilty Crown.
There was a fictional band in Guilty Crown.
It was called Egoist. But
Egoist is real.
Yeah, it turned real
because they continued after the show, but that didn't happen with Anonymous Noise. So I was really excited to listen to more Egoist songs. But that didn't happen with Anonymous Noise.
Anonymous Noise is a weird one for me because the character design is just not, like, I don't know. But the way the story unraveled and whatnot, and the music as well, actually, like, yeah, kept me something really, like, kept hold of me. So yeah, that music was. I love that. Yeah, I love that. In No Hurry to Shout.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah,
that's the band. But and in terms of Egoist, I actually completely forgot about that they formed after that anime. But I don't know if many people know that.
I thought Egoist existed before Guilty Crown.
No, yeah. I guess one other anime I have that I can share with you all is Macross Delta.
Yeah, that's essentially a music anime as well.
Yeah, I did not. I knew about Macross from before.
Really?
And I was like, okay, now's the time to get into it. And I watched it and I loved every fucking minute of it. I am so surprised at myself because it's basically idol music, but it's just got like a lot of electronical elements to it. But I loved it. Like, the way they integrated that music into the anime was, to me, seamless. And I was like, yeah, this is great. You know, this is for me. So, yeah, Macross Delta really opened my eyes to the Macross series.
Yeah, there's a Chinese cosplayer called Li Yu. And she actually... I believe that Macross was one of her, like, favorite anime. And because of the music and things like that, it kind of drove her to... I don't know if that was the sole reason, but it's like one of the bigger influences. But now she's working in Japan as a voice actress and also a singer. So that, like, going from just doing cosplay and moving to Japan, and she speaks... I wouldn't say fluent, but like really good Japanese. Considering that she's doing like talk shows and things like that. So it's quite inspiring how Macross like push people towards the Japanese culture.
Yeah, honestly.
I didn't know Macross had that much like pull to it, you know?
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't come out often. So it's, I feel like maybe people don't know about it enough.
But
I feel like when you talk about music anime... I think that's what you
it's more like the older generation, but they have a new a newer Macross.
Yeah, Macross Delta for me was definitely
they had like the old like Macross Frontier, for example. That
people would probably be like, oh yeah, those are better, but I haven't watched them, so I can't really say it. But obviously Delta is my starting point.
What I mean is more like that one's like 2008. So what I mean is that like they had it's probably not just my Cross Delta that affected people or inspired people. It's like their older stuff probably.
I didn't know that about Macross. I didn't know it had that much music in it.
Yeah,
I always thought of it as like a Gundam parallel, you know?
Yeah, it's actually, I would say it's not completely different from Gundam, but it's more a spaceship that transform. I mean, it's kind of Gundam, but like that's, they're fighting aliens more and whatnot rather than thing. And there's something to do with their voices that relates to the destroying the aliens and whatnot. So, yeah.
So let me reveal something before we continue. I'm just talking about, like, I know Macross. But it's mainly because of the other people that I've interacted with that have watched Macross, or like the people that I've seen online talking about Macross. Mm. So that's kind of like my impression of like how influential it has been, because almost like all of the Annie song singers, like especially like the older generation, have been really influenced by Macross.
I've heard about it a lot, but I've seen none of it.
Yeah, it's, like, I mean, we're in the same boat.
Yes, it's a weird one.
All right, well, I mean, I guess we can see how animation effects are kind of inquisitive nature, like, gets you into stuff. Like, my background is Rurouni Kenshin and Heart of Sword with TM Revolution. That's what got me into everything to begin with. I don't know about, Sizz, what was your catalyst?
Honestly, like, very basic, like, literally Naruto's and Bleach. And that was, like, me just hearing the openings and endings and then looking for the bands. Like, that's why I'm into Uberworld, because I'm like, yeah, that's been my band since then.
No kidding. So,
And then I've gone into other bands and whatnot through anime. You know, I wouldn't have looked at, like, the Oral Cigarettes, for example. So I wouldn't have looked that up, you know, or so, whatever band, but yeah.
I mean, that's what got me to sign up as a writer was NBT's article on Fixion, I think it was. He wrote about how it was released, and, like, I was like, okay, I'll check this out. And I was like, this is really good. I want to join these guys.
Hey, look where we are now.
Look at us now. What about NBT? What was your catalyst?
In terms of catalyst, like, because, like, anime and music obviously go together. Like, that's the whole, like, topic of today. I started, like, watching anime from a really young age. Like, you know, like, Doraemon, Chibi, Maruko-chan, like, all of those stuff.
Crazy. like my whole Western, like, view of animation and stuff, we didn't have any of that. Like, in the States, we didn't have Chibi Maruko, we didn't have Doraemon.
Yeah.
Now Doraemon's a thing because Disney bought him out, but, like, it wasn't a thing in my childhood.
Yeah, so basically the point was that while I was watching anime, like Japanese music has been, like, with me, like, since a very young age. Like, I didn't think much of it until, like, all of this shonen anime came in, like Dragon Ball, and then, like, Naruto and Bleach. Like, all of those, I think those were the main catalyst, because those had rock music, and I think that started, like, resonating with me.
Everyone's got their catalyst, right? Like, everyone's got their catalyst, and I think for the most part, a lot of us listeners, viewers, whatever you want to call them, even the staff themselves, a lot of the catalysts are animation. And whether or not you've kept up with the original catalyst, it's branched you off into a whole lot more. I don't think that's a stretch to say, because even to this day, I think we're still reaching people with just animation. I know Sokuni Naru, their recent opening with Majo to Yaju, that one got a lot of, I don't know if you want to, if I want to say hype, but a lot of attention on X, formerly Twitter.
X. Oh,
Sizz X. But yeah, that one got a lot of people tweeting about it. Like, they were saying, like, oh, like, check this out, because Sokuni Naru did the opening for it. And it's amazing. It's a great opening. It's a great way to expose people globally.
They were pretty popular still, like, even before doing anime stuff.
Mm.
They were, but I think the anime got them global.
Yeah, like now recently with Sim,
yes,
who's gone a lot more global after, like, doing songs for Attack on Titan, for example.
Yeah, it's definitely helped them breach the Western market. Like, I got people back in the States who are like, there's a Sim show going on, we're going. And I'm like, yeah, you're welcome.
They're definitely a band that I know who have were big in Japan, like, huge in Japan, and, like, are now even more huge because... And I was lucky to see them last year, in May or June, July, something like that. So, and they sold out. They sold out their show at O2.
That's amazing. So
it shows, and they sold out. They sold out their show in America. I can't remember where they were playing, but they had to move venue, and they even sold that out. So, you know, it shows their popularity overseas as well. And now they're touring with other bands. Yeah.
So. Yeah, like their next show in the States from the point of recording is going to include a couple of other kind of big names in Japan. Like, they've become a force to be reckoned with simply because not only are they great, but because of the anime that they're associated with. It has such a strong following that people go out to see them, not just because they love the anime, but because they legitimately love the music that was associated with that anime. And it shows that there's a lot to be said about being tied to anime. It does have an influence on growing a following.
It launches careers, honestly.
100%.
Something that I, like, you know, like, Sim did actually the theme song for Shingeki no Bahamut.
Yeah, and, right? They did it twice, and both were phenomenal, and that is a series that is highly underrated. More people need to see it. It is phenomenal. It is within the world of Grand Blue Fantasy. If you're not familiar with that, there's a new RPG that's out that's like a top seller, but that world is amazing, and the songs they did for it are
I haven't watched the anime, and I want to watch it, but it went under the radar. Yeah, sorry.
Like, that's the thing, like, the music was so good, like, and I don't understand why they didn't continue doing, like, anime songs at that point, because they simply, from my, I recall that they did not do any anime songs after that, until they joined, a new label,
Pony Canyon,
for doing Attack on Titan, and that's like several years.
Yeah, yeah. That is like, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Along with that gap, I mean, if you look at, a lot of people may not know it, but Fathoms, that's clearly Mark as the vocalist.
You can't do a spoiler.
It's clearly Ma as the vocalist.
I haven't heard them, but yeah. I know.
Yeah, yeah. Some of
the members have been revealed.
What's that animation called? Shangri-La Frontier.
Yes.
It's amazing. It's fantastic. The show itself is fine.
You know about the female vocalist? Rio.
Oh, really? Oh, okay.
Ryoru.
No. Is it really her?
Yes. Listen to the new single.
I'm gonna have to listen to it multiple times because that sounds.
Are they really great as well? Are they good?
Yeah, Fathoms is great. I was at a club in Shibuya and they played their stuff stuff got crazy.
You need to listen. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think they have two singles out so far.
Oh, only two? I thought they had three. What? Oh, damn.
Broken Games and something
else?
Yeah,
I've heard of Broken Games.
Yeah, one that was recently released.
The newest one? Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, you should... I think I briefly read an interview of them, of Fathoms, on Billboard.
Mm-hmm.
So you can... I would heavily suggest reading that, because they're trying to go around that they haven't been some of the members haven't been revealed, and they are they're still going with it, but it's very fun.
Okay, let's say it like this: everything that we said so far, speculation,
I'm not gonna lie, that interview does actually announce the like three members of that band, but
really,
I still don't know about Sim, or Rio. So, yeah.
Huh.
Just let's just call it speculation.
It's so, all speculation.
Okay. Okay. It's speculation. We'll say speculation.
Yes. Yes.
All right. Anyway, Fathoms is great, but we've reached a kind of long-running point, not a breaking point. I'm sure we could go on for more time, but I'm tired. I don't know about the rest of you. It's earlier in the day for you. But... let's get some final words out there. So animation, I think, for the most part, plays a big role in music selection for us more Eastern oriented people. Like, animation has definitely determined what I've gone for from the point of becoming an quote unquote otaku. I know the rest of you prefer the term weeaboo, but from then I got into TM Revolution, Larkon Ciel, Diru, and just kept going into Devilouf and Gangire and whatever goes forward. But yeah, I think it plays a big role. NBT, what do you think?
I can't recollect my like the anime step ladder of what music I started and ended with, but or like in the middle. But like, yeah, the shonen anime really like was the catalyst, and yeah, and then also like a lot of the bands that I got into afterwards started making anime music as well. So I'm not really sure how that would be counted. But yeah, so it's very influential, anime music these days, especially like in the West, which was not like an obvious case just like maybe a few years ago. So that's pretty impressive in my opinion.
I think that's a fair point. How about Sizz?
Yeah, I'm just going to say what I said similar before, that it launches careers, is able to bring musicians out to visibility. It's definitely gotten a lot more popular the last few years. I don't know, especially with like anime related YouTube channels, and like with the rise of like streaming services putting their songs on the services and then just using the opening theme or the ending theme, and then like that's it. So yeah, the popularity is just gonna reach further and further continuous. I think that's the state we are at now. I can't see it changing, and
until Netflix fucks it up,
maybe. I don't know, music will always stay forever, so even if it does, then we can always
Netflix wanted to cut off the opening songs of
God forbid.
This stupid as fuck.
So. Alright, well, I've been your host, Mazo, with co-host Sizz. Say something. And special guest, NBT.
To DMC.
And we will see you all next time.
Spoiler alert.